knowledge is not that you could store it. It's just when you see an opportunity, you'll be able to recognize it. That's how I define knowledge.
Okay.
So if you're gaining knowledge or if you're taking a program, it's because when the opportunity arises, you can recognize that it is an opportunity for you to do something bigger than what you're doing.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am absolutely ecstatic to introduce our guest for the day, Sadhana Sabharwal. Sadhana, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me, Sujata. Nice to be here.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Sadhana, everyone, has an absolutely amazing story, and I just can't wait to dive into it. Her brand is the Single Mom Millionaire, and she has bought and sold over 30 properties using none or little of her own money. And I'm really excited to talk about, you know, how it happened for her. So, Sadhana, why don't you give us a little bit of background on how and why you got into the real estate space?
Definitely. So I got divorced about 20 years ago, and I was left with three kids, a mortgage, credit card debt, and some actually family debt as well. And life is plodding along. I'm working, and I have to support three boys because I had three kids at the time. One day, a client comes into the office, and she's renewing a mortgage. And the mortgage payment on her house was lower than my car payment at the time. And that was the first time I heard about positive cash flow.
Wow.
I was like, it was a light bulb moment for me. I did not know that you could buy property,
okay,
pay all of its expenses from the rent, and have some money left over. Because prior to that, the only thing I knew was you could do mortgages.
Uh-huh.
And I had done that by getting a line of credit on my house. Mm-hmm. But really, the idea of real estate investing came after I met that client. And since then, I haven't stopped. I work as a law clerk.
Okay, wait. So where were you working? You worked as a law clerk and the client came in, and can you just break that down? So what was she coming in for?
She was renewing a mortgage for an investment property that she owned.
Okay.
And that's what I was saying. Her mortgage payment was so tiny.
Yeah.
That my car payment is so big compared to that.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Okay. So you had a light bulb moment where you realized that that real estate could be a cash flowing asset rather than, you know, more of a liability like a car. What happened next?
I was supposed to be with that client for probably 5 minutes. And that interview took me over 45 minutes because I just kept on asking her questions. And at the end, she invited me to say, why don't you come to my house? I'm starting a little meetup group about real estate investing. And that's where my journey began. And I started going to her, she called it a club. Every Tuesday, we would meet up and then we would just discuss about real estate. And that's where it all started. And then once you buy one and you realize you can do it, the next one is easier and the confidence level goes up. And that's what happened. At one time, my highest number of properties that I owned at one time was 18, which equated to 46 tenants.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, real estate, when I started in real estate, it was really just to support my children because my ex was not supporting me with the kids. So I needed to bring more income into the household. And that's what real estate became for me, became a vehicle for me.
That's awesome. Well, I just love that story so much that you, you know, had this light bulb moment and decided you were going to do something about it. You met somebody, saw an opportunity to potentially carve out a pathway for yourself, and you followed it through. And that's just such an important, you know, it's such an important lesson there for anyone who wants to, you know, want something different out of their lives. Okay. So let's talk about the no money down thing, because I mean, well, I definitely bought my first property with no money down, or not exactly no money down, but no money in my bank account. And so it's, I know it's a powerful thing. A lot of people want to know how to do it. Tell us your story.
Okay. So because I didn't have any money, my brain was only working one way. How do I get this property with as little money as possible? If I have to put money in, how do I get it out as quickly as possible? So for me, that's what no money down means. So what I thought was, and this is what I has learned as well. So I bought a duplex and I'm thinking, okay, I don't have the down payment. So I found another lady who was coming to the same club. I said, hey, do you want to partner up? I found this property. It's really good. It's going to cash flow, like, you know, just doing the whole numbers stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was doing a presentation. This is it, right? But now, like 12 years later, I can say, oh, that's what that was. Oh, that's what this was. But I was basically presenting to an investor and she came in with a down payment from a line of credit that she had access to. So we put down the down payment and she qualified for the mortgage as well. We owned the property for about 12 years now and we recently just sold it as well. And it has been cash flowing for the last 12 years. It was just an amazing property, like a duplex for $55,000. It cash flowed about $500 and change every month. Can't go wrong. So that is just a part of like one way of doing no money down deal.
Yeah, totally. So how did you work out the roles and responsibilities? If she was bringing the capital, what did you bring to the table? Obviously, you brought the deal.
So I brought the property. I brought the deal. I was dealing with the property manager. I was dealing with the tenants and stuff. Well, mainly property manager, because it was farther away, I didn't have to deal with the tenant calls and stuff. So that was it, because it was just an easy property. And then every time we had to make a decision, let's say the window has to be changed or the fridge is broken or something, we would just do a joint phone call and say, okay, well, let's get it from Home Depot versus whatever, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. It was a very easy property to handle.
And this was in Canada, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool. So I have a question about mortgages in Canada. What was that like? I mean, I've heard that you don't, are there fixed rate mortgages in Canada? Sounds like a silly question, but I've heard that there aren't.
There are. You have a variable rate mortgage. You have a fixed rate mortgage. You name it. There's everything's there. I think, you know what? It's very similar.
Okay.
The only thing I always say is it's the concept. It doesn't matter, like, you know, the exact stuff. It's like, I'm sure you have private mortgages. We have private mortgages, balloon payments or, you know, payments at the end. It's all similar.
Okay, great. So walk us through the numbers on that deal again. I know you touched on it.
So we had bought the property for $55,000 and she brought in $11,000 from a line of credit for the down payment, which was 20%. And we got a mortgage for $44,000. The rent was $800 for downstairs and $700 for upstairs. So it was about $1,500 of rent. The expenses, including property management and the mortgage and everything else in between, was just under $1,000. So which gave us a cash flow of about $500. We paid off the mortgage in about 10 years because we wanted to aggressively pay it. And now we just sold the property for $125,000.
Well, congratulations. I mean, that's just very exciting. And I always love the story of the first deal. So how did you come across that duplex?
What happened was, remember I said about the club, I was going to the club. So let's say there's about 20 people there all the time, or sometimes, I mean, you know, there were even as little as five people. So one time I remember this lady came in, she was from a smaller town, even north of the city that we ended up buying in. And she mentioned about this property because we were learning about positive cash flow. That was the basic premise of anything I looked at. If the property did not cash flow, I wasn't interested in it because that's not my purpose. At the time, like, yes, if you get appreciation, great. But if you don't, at least you have that cash flow coming in. So analogous to that would be like if it has a negative cash flow, and if I have to put in $500 or even half of that $500 every single month, you're going to be limited to how many properties you can buy, right? So in this scenario, because it was positive cash flow, so this lady comes in and she goes, she found this place. It's a northern town in Ontario. She said, oh, the properties cash flow amazingly. So it was just like, so and she had given the name of the realtor that she spoke to. So pretty much everybody had the name of the realtor. And I think when I spoke to the realtor the first time, and I just said, send me the deals and I'll wean through them. And I think he sent me, my guess is probably somewhere around 35 to 40 deals. And I went through them.
Okay.
And my major thing was, number one, what's going to cash flow? Number two, who will give me a seller financing? So once those two things were met is when I would do the offer. So even on my offer, will the seller give me some financing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you didn't know about the seller financing until you wrote your offer. Okay. Yeah. Very smart. And that worked, sounds like. Well, I guess that's how you found this.
It did.
Did you find just this one or multiple?
No. I was going to tell you about another one then. So I ended up buying a sixplex.
Okay.
So that one was, seller said they'll give me financing, 75%.
What was their motivation for giving you seller financing?
Well, it was an older couple. They just wanted a regular cash flow coming in, right?
Yeah.
So, and he did not have a mortgage on the property. So he said, yeah, he'll do 75% if I do 25% down payment. So I went to a family member, borrowed the 25%, got the 75% from the seller at 7%, and the property still cash flowed.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And so
that's just how I got started.
Yeah, that's amazing. So just a couple questions on that. So, I mean, I think I just want to circle back and touch on something. So, you know, it was critical that you went to this group and started building relationships and figuring out, okay, how can I put deals together, right? Because when you don't have any much money to invest, you have to be the one who's kind of making the deal come together and happen. And you were able to do that successfully, which is super, you know, impressive and incredible. Yeah. So, you know, I know you were able to reach financial independence. Let's back up a step. You said that earlier that you did not go to college. Is that right?
I've never gone to university.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing. Do you mind touching on that a little bit? So like, how did that happen?
I came to Canada. I was in grade 10. So I did grade 10 here in Canada. So I did my high school and then I did 2 years of college. That was my education. Whereas, you know, my kids, which I'm so proud to say, two of them are doctors and one of them is an MBA. So I used to be like, I don't want anybody saying because dad wasn't here, you guys didn't do well. That was my only thing for them.
Yeah.
Just do your best. That's it. Just do your best. I never said go become a doctor. I never said go become an MBA, anything like that. No, just do your best. Whatever you want to do, just do your best at it. That's it.
Are you sure you didn't tell them to become a doctor?
Not at all.
Honestly. I'm just kidding.
My kids will tell you that. But for me, it was more about, like, you know, just, I don't even want to say the image. I think just the single mom image, will say, right? Yeah. It wasn't about me. It was that, you know, I don't want my kids to be not successful because they came from a broken home. That was my major.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and congratulations on, to do all of that without, you know, support, without a college education. I mean, that's just amazing. So what were you doing before you got into, you were working as a law clerk. So how were you able to get even that job without a college degree?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
My dad was a conveyancer, which is, I don't know if you would know. So they do title searching and stuff, you know, when you have a title insurance company.
Yeah.
So they look back at the records to see what mortgages are outstanding, what easements are there, all of that stuff. So we used to work with our dad in the summertime because my dad had his own business. So as students, we would be writing out the stuff for him, and then he would do like the final touches and stuff. So that was one. And then from there, I got one of my uncles, who was also a conveyancer, got me a job with one of the lawyers that he used to freelance for. So that's how I got into the law office. And then from there, another one and another one. So basically, by word of mouth, and then I started my own law clerking.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, cool. So let's go back to the real estate. So, you know, single mom, don't have college education, and you're able to reach early retirement through real estate. So at what point in your mind, you know, or what point in your journey did you decide, okay, I'm going to become financially independent with real estate?
I don't think I ever thought about it. I think for me, it was more about, I just wanted to pay for my kids' education. And that was it. So once the education part was done, oh, I can still do this. So that's what happened.
Wait, I have a question. Isn't education like college free in Canada?
No, it's not free in Canada. It's subsidized by the government.
Okay.
So if you're not a foreign student, so it's like when my kids, let's say, went to the US, as a matter of fact, my youngest one, he went to Northwestern, which is in Illinois, Evanston.
Yeah. And I did my bachelor's degree at Northwestern.
Oh, at Northwestern?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, you know, okay, so when he goes there as a Canadian, he has to pay full tuition, probably more. So you as an American would be subsidized by the American government because you pay taxes there. So same thing. The universities in Canada for Canadian students are subsidized. However, my kid, when he went to Northwestern, he did a 2-year MBA program. He got full scholarship.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I mean, I got my MBA funded as well and am so grateful to not have those loans. Okay. So you're telling us about how you decided to go to financial independence. You wanted to pay for their education, and what was next?
Correct. So then once their education was done, the money was still coming in. Mm-hmm. So then that's what got me to financial freedom. So that's what I'm saying. Like for me.
I see. Okay. So they had left. Okay,
exactly. For me, it wasn't planned. Oh my God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this many properties and I'm going to reach financial freedom. It wasn't that. For me, it was like, I just want to pay for my kids. Okay. One down. Oof, next one down. Oof, now the third. So it was almost like that.
That's awesome. So were you like liquidating properties as each of them went to school, or how did you pull the cash out?
Because
you know, sometimes people roll it into the next property. So what was it? What did that look like for you?
No, I actually sold out quite a bit. And I was like, for instance, right now, I am down to about 6 properties, even though I had 18 at one time. I've been part of more than 30 properties. But the thing is, right now, if you were to ask me how many do I own, I don't own that many. So I got rid of a lot of stuff because I needed that money to put my kids through school.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Okay. So you were liquidating properties and now you're at about, and then at what point, like when they all left college, did you decide you were going to quit being a law clerk, or how did that, at what point did that happen?
I still actually work. I still do because I enjoy it. It's connected to real estate. So I'm a real estate law clerk. That's what I do. So for me, it still keeps me in the loop and it's always update. Like, you know, I'm always up to date on stuff because of that as well.
Yeah.
Right. So therefore, I actually don't mind working because it gives me, you know, it's all about knowledge. It's all about expanding your knowledge base. And I always feel when knowledge is not that you could store it, it's just when you see an opportunity, you'll be able to recognize it. That's how I define knowledge.
Okay.
So if you're gaining knowledge or if you're taking a program, it's because when the opportunity arises, you can recognize that it is an opportunity for you to do something bigger than what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's great to have exposure and, you know, you obviously enjoy it. So, you know, you don't have to quit your job to be successful in real estate, obviously. And it, anyway, so that's really awesome. So now you have 6 properties in your portfolio currently, right?
Yes.
And what do you see as your kind of like, where are you headed now? I mean, you paid for your kids' college, you have the money coming in, like what's next for you?
I have already developed a course, which
Oh, right. Okay.
No Money Down Academy. So now it's all about sharing the knowledge that I have gathered over the last 15 years of, well, I'll say 12 years of real estate investing, plus 15 to 20 years of real estate clerking. And all of that has been put together in a course, which is called the No Money Down Academy. And I've got over 200 students in my academy already, and they are learning every single day.
That's awesome. I mean, I just love that. It's like you've put in so much time. I mean, it's not like you started this course after your first like three deals. And, you know, you've got so much wealth of like such a wealth of knowledge and experience to share. Would you say that your people are in the US or Canada or both?
I've got both US and Canada.
Yeah.
Most of my focus right now was on Canada, but I mean, it only has been about 8-9 months since I launched the course. And as I said, we've got about 200 students. Most of them are from Canada. Some are from US as well, but we will be focusing on the US as well.
Yeah.
Coming probably next year.
Yeah. Well, that is just so exciting. I just love it so much. Well, we'll definitely get to talking about that. So next on the horizon for you is sharing your experience and helping more people do what you did, which is beautiful. And do you have any ambitions to like grow your portfolio, or where do you think your investments are headed?
Right now, I am actually working on, well, always after buy and hold flips, the burr strategy. Now I'm getting into development. So that's my next step.
Oh, wow. That is very exciting.
Yes, I am actually super excited about it. So we bought a piece of land. I shouldn't even say piece of land because it's a burnt down house. So it's a piece of land which sits with the burnt down house. And we bought the one next door. So we're going to try and combine the two and then go up three stories. And it will probably be turned into, I'm going to say, 15 to 18 plaques.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. And that's in like around Toronto or something?
It is. It is still in the GTA. It's in Hamilton, which is about 45 minutes from Toronto, where I live.
Awesome. And what inspired you to do development? Is it something you wanted to do for a long time?
No. What happened was after I launched the course, this one person contacted me through Instagram. And he wanted to do stuff together because he's in construction and he saw No Money Down. Oh, how do you do deals? So we had a couple of discussions. And then one night I was showing one of my private coaching, because I also do private coaching. I was showing one of my students, how did I use to find properties on MLS? And this property popped up and I spoke to the person who had contacted me through Instagram. And next thing we know, we're putting in an offer.
That's very cool. Okay. So I just want to circle back to another part of your story, which we didn't really touch too much on, which is, you know, we talked about how you did your first couple deals. Talk about how you scaled your business to the point where you did have, you know, 18 properties and 46 tenants.
So what happened was when, as I said, once you do one or two, your confidence level grows. Mm-hmm. And then it just feels like, oh, shush, this can be done. Oh, okay, this is going to bring in cash flow again. So you just keep it. It was honestly, I feel like saying it was almost like a game. Uh-huh. So every time I found a property, I would do the numbers. I would say, okay, this can, oh, let me see who I can find to partner up with. Oh, let me see this. Or, I mean, at one point, I even used my realtor's line of credit that he was not using that much. So this is honestly all about other people's money, other people's, you know, whatever you can do, because at the end of the day, like, yes, I paid the interest on the line of credit, but who cares? I had access to money. It's all about access to money.
Oh, totally.
It's all about access to deals, right? So that's what happened with him.
Well, I mean, and I just love what you mentioned about it was like a game, because I mean, I've never really considered myself someone who likes games. I mean, I don't mind them necessarily. Definitely not video games person. Definitely not even really a board game person. But like, I love the game of real estate. You know, like my mind just constantly is working on this game in my head. And it's, I think that's kind of what, you know, if you have a mind that likes to work on those types of problems, then you're, you know, naturally going to be drawn to being a real estate investor. So that's cool.
Well, because you're always looking for solutions, right? Mm-hmm. I know some people have a tendency. And, you know, if I was to think back to the beginning days, I could think and say, okay, well, I'm a single mom. Who's going to give me a mortgage? I only make $50,000. How many mortgages can I get? If I focus on the obstacles, I'm going to see more problems. Mm-hmm. But if I start thinking, okay, let me see if maybe I could JV with somebody. Oh, yeah. Maybe I could do this or do it differently. Or let's see a seller financing. Or, like, you know, there's just so many ways. I have had a seller give me money for down payment and closing costs.
Yes. That's amazing.
So it's possible.
Wow. Yes. That is really incredible. So they gave you, did they hold a note on that as well? Or did they just, okay, they held a note, gave you the down payment. And what was...
And the closing cost.
And the closing cost. So how did you convince them to do that?
They wanted to sell. I said, I need money for down payment. I don't have the money. So I said, okay, fine. I'll give you the money. And I said, I don't have money for closing costs. So I'm like, I need a mortgage for like at least $75,000. Mind you, it was for 2 years. And then, so we arranged it was for 2 years. And I gave them a mortgage on another property that I had.
Okay.
Because I couldn't borrow it on that property. So I said, okay, I'll give you a mortgage on another property that I own.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, I love that creative financing. And I mean, but they could have gone to another buyer, right? So why did they choose to go with you?
That I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, God always has a hand.
Yeah.
I feel like there's always divine intervention somewhere, right? Yes, they could have gone with anybody. They don't have to go with me because somebody will give them all the money. And they didn't. I don't have an answer for why me.
Totally. I love it. I mean, I just love it so much. And so, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk, I feel like recently, about how pricing has gone up. And so, you know, in your mind, though, you don't really have those limiting beliefs about being able to do no money down deals. So, you know, what would you say to people who maybe are having some of those doubts?
See, for me, I always feel, and I get asked this question a lot, it's like, oh, how do you find no money down deals? And my answer is very simple. You don't find them, you create them. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody's going to say, here, I'll give you a no money down deal. Right? You have to, with your process of thinking or your thinking process, you have to say, how can I make this a no money down?
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's ask for the seller financing. Or maybe I could get some loan from a family member. Or maybe I could ask the seller to give me the down payment. And then I'll get, you know, the mortgage for the other 85%. So it's just so many different ways. But the thing is, it's, you have to think outside the box. And that's why I said, when you're looking for solutions, you're going to find solutions. When you're looking at obstacles, you're going to find problems.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I just love that so much. Yeah, I just think it's really wonderful. And I mean, I'm very inspired. And, you know, I feel like the stuff that I do is kind of for people who already have money to put to work. You know, and so I have so many people who I'm going to be sending your way because what you have to offer is just really helpful for those, you know, for people who, you know, don't already have a nest egg to invest and yeah, want to grow quicker. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Sadhana. It's just been, you know, such a pleasure to learn from you and hear you tell your story. And it's very inspiring. So thank you so much for coming on. Will you please tell the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Yes, I'd love to. Guys, the one thing I can tell you is believe in yourself and think outside the box. There is no such thing as a no. No just means next opportunity. Yes, maybe you look at 100 deals and maybe only 10 of them will fit your criteria. And maybe you'll only be able to get one out of that. But it doesn't matter. It's like you still got that one. Now, as far as learning from me, I can be reached at singlemommillionaire.com. You can reach me at the No Money Down Academy under my name for Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram is Single Mom Millionaire Official. All of those, you can reach me.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I hope you all take good notes and make sure to reach out to Sadhana if you want to do No Money Down deals, because it seems like she's biggest expert that I have talked to and will teach it in a very approachable way. So thank you so much, Sadhana, for coming on. It's really been just an absolute joy to talk to you and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.